the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are to worship. Come, just as you are before.
Morning, everyone. Good. Absolutely great to see you. Good wee number. Thank you so much for coming. A couple of wee announcements for you. If you want to have a wee look at those, Gareth's with us today. Thank you, Gareth, for coming and just helping us, leading us. Jake's having a wee couple of weeks break. So tonight, 7 o'clock, we're starting Joshua chapter 1, the Bible study. What a great wee time. Last week, was it that we just looked at Joshua before Joshua chapter 1? He appears 29 times in the Bible before Joshua chapter 21. So we flew through those and had a wee look at those. So Joshua chapter 1's brilliant. We deliberately chose it because Joshua signals the end of one ministry, the beginning of a new ministry, and facing the new challenges. And I suppose that's the stage we're at as a wee kind of church family. We're about to enter into a new phase, a new stage. So on Tuesday night, we're going to Presbytery to ask their permission to call a new minister. I'm hopeful, we're hopeful. And so if we get permission on Tuesday night, then the third Tuesday, I think it is, we go up to Church House. And they're the ones who really do decide if we're allowed to call a new minister and on what terms we're allowed to call a new minister. So, folks, I always say this to you, and this is the absolutely crucial month for you as a church family and for the area and the people around about us that we love and that we're here for. So I really would love you with all my heart to pray, to really pray hard during this month that we will get permission to call and that the terms and conditions will be as good as they can be. So we're having a wee prayer meeting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Isn't that right, John? Yeah. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, we're having a wee prayer meeting. Just love you to come, love you to pray, to cry out to God as a wee congregation. Say, God, we would really love somebody to love us, to lead us, to give us heart vision to reach this area with the good news of Jesus. So, when we're going up to Belfast, they're going to ask us some question like, what kind of a motley lot do you have there in Scrabble? No, what kind of church do you have? And so we thought, rather than us just kind of come up with answers, we'll give you a wee opportunity to have input. So that big sheet on your thing, would love you to fill that out. Doesn't matter how, would love you to have a wee go at it. There are pens there. There are pens in the back. You can fill them in today, because if you take them home, you'll forget about it. But you can take them home if you want and bring them back next Sunday and put more thought into it. So, but that's what, and would love you just to be involved in that process, so that as David and John go up to Church House the third Tuesday, they'll be able to represent you well and do that well. Okay, does that make sense to you? It's clear as mud, yeah. Good. So, read just through the rest of those announcements. I hate ministers going through them bit by bit, because they're here, there, so you can read and that you can pray. Super, great. So, today we're thinking about this word, come. Come can be an encouragement. Come on, we can do this. It can be a command, come here now. I used to get that as a boy all the time. Or it can be a word of invitation. You'd like to come to Starbucks for a cup of coffee with me? Anybody? Yeah. You're buying, so... no, right, Gareth, we can't be afford to be buying for all of them. So Gareth was singing to us just to prepare our hearts. I thought it was lovely just to prepare your heart. It's a command, because God's worth it. It's an encouragement. Come on, we can do this. It's an invitation. Wouldn't you love to worship the Lord? Wouldn't you love just to give your heart, yourself, your soul to worship Him? Isn't that why we've come? Isn't that why we got out of bed this morning? Otherwise we'd just lie on our beds. Because He's worth it. He's really worth it. And so His invitation to us together is, come, let's worship. Let's do this. This is the reason why we're here. It's our heart. It's our vision. It's our passion. Let's do this. Let's worship. So, well, I pray and then we'll sing and worship, and Gareth will lead us. And so just whatever things you need to lay down, you know, that would get in your road, get in the way of giving your heart to God. There's anxieties, worries, cares, fears, problems, joys, distractions, phones, work, relationships, people that we love that are sick. There's all kinds of things that will keep you from actually giving your heart. And it's your heart that God's after this morning. There's nothing less that He wants than your heart given over to Him. So come. Just come. Now's the time. Tomorrow's no good. Now's the time to give your heart. And come just as you are. Just with all the baggage that you brought in and walked and carried into this room. But come just as you are before your God. The living God is here. Jesus Christ, the victorious, resurrected Savior, is here. And He's here to receive your worship and your praise, because that's what He's worthy of. In His saving mercy and grace, He has broken into our lives. He has taken the punishment for our sins. Let's give our sins to Him and say, God, we confess, we repent, we turn from them, we break with them, because we want free hands to take hold of You. God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Well, let's stand, let's worship. There's another song afterwards, so just gather and lead us.
To God be the glory, great things He has done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. Who yielded His life, found atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing to Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our worship when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer the promise of God. The vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. And I surrender all, and I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And I surrender all, and I surrender all, and all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And I surrender all, I surrender all, and all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Yes, Lord, that's our prayer today. That we would just surrender our all to you. Lord, would you just come and would you just minister to us this morning? Would you speak through Alvin, Lord? Would you just use your word, Lord, to speak to our hearts? Lord, we just pray for each person standing here, Lord, each person, whether young or old, Lord. May you just come and break down the chains of our lives, Lord, that are binding us from meeting with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just sing that again.
And I surrender all. And I surrender all. And all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Great, good. It's just good to start with surrender. That's the right place to start in any service. Any bargirl had a birthday the past week? Any adult had a birthday in the past week? Yeah, Maureen, you had a birthday, did you?
Today.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Great. Yeah, well, do you want to sing happy birthday, Maureen? Yeah, yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, dear Maureen. Happy birthday.
A prayer blessing for her. And God, you know, Maureen, you know all that's in her heart, but we just bless you, Maureen. We just bless you for being here today. We just pray blessing upon you. Just the presence of Jesus near to you. The comfort, the care, the mercy of God around about you. We bless you, Maureen, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Isn't it good to belong to a church family when your heart's grieving, that you have people who come alongside you and care for you, isn't it? It's a good thing. Super great. Any boys and girls here? So I've got a wee question for you, boys and girls. There's a wee picture coming up on PowerPoint. If you haven't said hello to the person beside you, just hit them on the shoulder and say, hi. Great. Super, thank you. Super great. So, boys and girls, any boys and girls know what this picture is? It's a picture from a story in the New Testament. And, George, what do you think it is? Brilliant. Jesus is right. Absolutely right. How does Jesus do that? I mean, I can hardly walk on this solid ground. Never name walk on water. Like, he is amazing, isn't it? He's amazing. You and I would be very poor at that, but he is brilliant at it. So that's Jesus over. And this person with his back to us is a person called, does anybody know what his name is? Yep. Padre. Yeah. No, it's Peter. Peter. It's Peter. It's got his back. And Jesus is saying to Peter, he's saying one word to him. What's the word? Come. Come. Come to me across the water. And Peter's thinking, what's Peter thinking? He's thinking, no way, no way, no way. Jesus, I don't know anybody else. I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing this for 20 years. I don't know anybody who's walked across water before. We did those classes in Bible college, how to walk on water, but I missed them. So, so Jesus says, come. So, boys and girls, is a parent, your parent ever said to you, come, come here, come now, come and wash your hands and get your dinner? Has anybody ever say that to you? Yeah, granny said, yeah, grannies are good at saying it, aren't they? Yeah, super, come. Or they can say to you, come on, come on. You know, when you're a wee toddler, and you were first learning to walk, taking your first steps, you know, your mommy or daddy would be down and say, come on, come on, you can do it, come on, come on, you can do it. So it can be an encouragement or it can be an invitation. Come on, who'd like to come to the front and get a pack of the sweets? Anybody like to come to the front and get a pack of the sweets? Well, come on. There you are, George. Good man. Anybody else like to come? Yeah.
Can I
have
something
then? You want? Well.
Something?
Yeah. Lovely. You sorry? Sorry. Okay. You give me one back. That's a good boy. One back, which you can. Good boy. Well done. Save her job. Anybody else? Miss anybody else out? I know you're too old to come, but. You're not too old for sweets. So that's an invitation. Just come. It's an invitation. Just would you like to come? Any boy or girl know this? What was that one? Jesus said to Peter, come, and he just did it. He just did it. He just stepped out over the side of the boat, and he did it. Anybody know what this is? Very good. Nike. And you're dead right. And what's their wee kind of three-letter kind of logo type wee kind of three-letter message? Just did. Just did. Just did. Just did. So whatever God tells you in the Bible to do, what are you to do? Just did. Whatever you read in the Bible and you read and God tells you to do something in the Bible, you just open the Bible, you open their heart and you just say, God, if you tell me to do it, I will do it. I mightn't be very good at it. I'll struggle. I'll fail. I'll fall. Of course I will. But Jesus, if you tell me to do it, I would love to do it. That's my heart. I would love to do it. I may get it right. I may probably more likely get it wrong. But I'd love to do it. It's a big challenge, isn't it? Whatever God tells me to do in the Bible, just do it. Just do it. And that's how you grow as a follower of Jesus. That's how you get to love him better and how you follow him more and more. And so we still, I think, maybe taught you last week, little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. It's slow going. It really is. Like, I've been following Jesus for 50 years, I reckon. I haven't really changed that as much as I would have wanted to. 50 years is a long time for Jesus to keep chipping away at me, isn't it? Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. He's changed me. And Gareth taught you last week, so hopefully you've got it. So we stand, worship, and then boys and girls, we write the song.
Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me, he's changing me. Since I made that turnabout face, I've been growing in his grace. Jesus is changing me, he's changing me. My precious Savior, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Well, it's been slow going, but still there's knowing that someday perfect I will be. Little by little, every day, little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me, he's changing me. Since I made that turnabout face, I've been growing in his grace. Jesus is changing me, he's changing me. My precious Savior, I'm not the same person that I used to be. Well, it's been slow going, but still there's knowing someday perfect I will be.
He's working in our lives. He's working in us to remake us, remold us, reshape us into his very likeness. And one day, if you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a believer, that one day God's aim is that you will be like Jesus, as Jesus is like him. That's amazing. He's going to have to do a lot of work in some of you, isn't it? Most of all in me. Most of all in me. Will we pray together? We'll just take a wee moment of quietness. And don't know what's going on in your lives. Don't know what encouragements that you have, what discouragements that you have, what challenges you have, what joys you have. Just want to give you a wee moment and you just... just open up your heart and just give your heart to Jesus. So, and just give those things to him. And we'll pray about it. New minister. God, this month of February is so important, so absolutely key to us in the future, not just to us as a church, but to, you know, the people who live around about us who don't even know that any of this is going on, God, because we want to be a church that impacts the people's lives outside, beyond this building, in the streets and houses round about us. And so, God, we just do want to pray that you would really help us on Tuesday night, really help us and David and John and myself as we go up to Church House in 3 weeks' time. We just really pray, God, that we will be able to represent this wee church family well. And, God, that in your mercy and goodness that you would give us someone with a heart and a vision and a passion to really lead us into the future and into you know your purposes and your plans for us as a church in this community. So God, really do pray, lead us, guide us, direct us. God, it has to be you, and we want it to be you, and we want to pray that you will bring a person to us who would just love us and love you. And Father, we do pray, we just pray, you know, for the families around about us, for the streets, Old Priory Close, Rivara Close, Kilbroney Green, Quinton Park. Just praying over those streets, praying for people who are lying in their beds this morning. Praying, Spirit of God, quicken them. Spirit of God, awaken them. Spirit of God, just put in their hearts an ache, a longing, a prayer, and just for you, and just a just desire, God, just to come to know you. And Father, just help us to reach out in love to the people all around about us. Just lovely, lovely people just lost without you, Jesus. Just help us this morning, Father, to hear your Holy Spirit speak. Not just to go through, you know, the motions of a church service, but just to hear your Holy Spirit speak with just such clarity and such conviction into our hearts that we as a church would be different people, that we would live for you in our everyday lives, that we would point people to you in our everyday lives. Just that's our longing, Father, that's our desire. Jesus, come amongst us. We just desperately want you this morning, and just our hearts cry out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I just meant to say in the wee announcements that we're thinking of doing a wee church membership class. So if anybody's not a full committed communicant member of this church family, but would like to at least think about what that would look like and what that would mean, if you have a wee word with me, we're thinking of doing a wee, maybe 2-3 weeks, whatever, just to try and help people think that through. Is that the stage that you're at? You're not committing to anything, you're just saying, I want to come and investigate. So just have a wee word with me. So will we read the Bible together? And the story that we're going to look at today is Matthew 14, the walking on the water story, Matthew 14, verses 22 to 36. So I said to you that there's Bibles there as you come in through the door. If you ever want to pick one up, you know, when you come in, just next week, Brian Martin's coming to speak for 3 weeks. Brian's actually came here, he was telling me, when he's retired, he's just retired. He doesn't look like it, he looks much younger than I do. And he came as to preach one of his first sermons here. So I said, well, that's the problem then. That's when I know what the problem is. So, brilliant teacher, absolutely brilliant Bible teacher. So he's going to take 3 weeks to teach you through Ecclesiastes. Have a wee read of it at home, Ecclesiastes. and he's going to teach through it 3 weeks in a row. So just to give you a wee feel of that. So great. Matthew 14, verse 22. You know, I always say to you, this is God's word. Like, I want to treat it with awe and with wonder. I want you to listen with awe and to read it with awe and wonder. And I know it's a story that so many of you will know well, and that's the danger, isn't it? So listen to this, God's word. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples, so this wasn't an option. He made them get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. It's about 6 o'clock in the evening or just before it. And after he dismissed them, he went up onto the mountainside by himself to pray. He loved to do that. Jesus loved spending time alone with the Father. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted, battered about by the waves because the wind was against it. So during the fourth watch of the night, so that's kind of Roman timekeeping, so it means really between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So if they got into the boat at 5, or, you know, just before 6, that's, well, you do the maths. I'm not very good at counting, but you do the maths. And Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. How did he do that? You know, you're right. Absolutely a miracle. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, remember, it's dark. There's no lights in Galilee. They haven't invented electric light by this stage. So it's dark. And when they saw through the darkness, through the gloom, they see this figure walking towards them. They're terrified. It's a ghost is the only thing they can come up with. And they cried out in fear. They're about 3.5 miles from shore. Then Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I am. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did ye doubt?" Oh, well, because of the size of the wind and the waves, Jesus, it's kind of like a problem. And when they climbed into the boat, they walked back arm in arm together. I just think you missed that. Listen to this. They walked back arm in arm together and climbed into the boat. And when they climbed in the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they, listen to this, these couple of verses just to finish, listen to this. When they had all crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, the other side of the Lake of Galilee. And when the men of that place recognized Jesus, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought all their sick to him and begged him to let the sick just touch the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Amazing. Amazing. Like, what an amazing Savior we have. What an amazing Savior we follow. Will we sing and worship together again? Will we sing Faithful One, So Unchanging? Do you know that wee song? Do you know that song? Yeah. Just something of God's faithfulness and something of God's incredible goodness and love for us. So we'll sing through a couple of times. Just if you're able to stand, please stand, and we'll worship and just give our hearts to God and say, "God, like, you are so faithful. You're so faithful to us. You've been so faithful to us throughout the year. You've been so faithful to us in the vacancy as a wee church family. Hasn't he?" Let's tell him so. Let's tell him.
Faithful One, so unchanging. Ageless One, You're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. And I call out to you again and again. And I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. And all through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope is faithful one, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you. I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in time of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. And all through the storm, your love is the anchor. My hope
weakness is our greatest strength. Our weakness is our greatest strength. I'm saying to you, I've been a Christian nearly 50 years, almost 50 years, and I think there's something wrong with me. Like there's something wrong with me as a Christian. Like instead of feeling after 50 years full of spiritual strength and power dripping out of my fingertips, like all I ever seem to feel is my own weakness, my powerlessness, my anxiety, even my emptiness at times as a Christian. What is wrong with me? Answers on a postcard and posted. I don't know if any of you ever feel like that, do you? What is wrong with me as a Christian? I love it when I came across this about Jesus. I don't know if you've ever really noticed it. But his weakness, his absolute dependency upon his Father for every ounce of strength, energy, power that he has to speak the words that he speaks, to do the miracles that he did. Like, I know Jesus was fully God. He was God the Son, God in second person. But he was also fully human and fully dependent on his Father for every single thing he ever said and ever did, exactly like you and I are today. And that's the key. That's a role model for us. Jesus is not only the Son of God, he's the Son of Man. And he's speaking, he's acting, he's ministering, he's healing, he's driving out demons from his humanness, from his humanity, in dependency upon his Father, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, just like you and I are meant to do. Here's some of the things that Jesus said about his own, what I call, helpless dependency upon his Father. Notice I said, what did I say? Helpless. Yeah, one of you, two of you were awake. Good, that's good. Helpless dependency upon, not hopeless dependency. There's a big difference, there's a huge difference. Jesus was never, ever hopeless. But he was helpless. So, just to show you, just in case you don't believe me, read these with me after three. One, two, three. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees the Father do. What can he do by himself? Nothing. Not a single thing. Not a single miracle. Not a single healing. Not a single word. Nothing. Just like me. Just like you. Here's the next one. One, two, three. By myself I can do nothing. I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. What can he do by himself? Nothing. Not a single thing, not a miracle, not a healing, not a word, nothing, nothing. Here's the next one, one, two, three. I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases. What can he do on his own? Nothing, nothing on his own. Last one, one, two, three. For I did not speak on my own authority, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have said. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. What does he do on his own? Nothing. Not a single thing. He waits till the Father teaches him what to say and how to say. That sounds like weakness. That sounds like how I feel inside me. Powerlessness, weakness. Jesus in these verses is admitting to us and to you his absolute weakness, his helplessness, his dependency upon his Father. Is that how it sounds to you? Did you ever think about that? Think Jesus was like that? No. Like, we always thought he was full of power, full of strength, full of this, full of that. He's saying no. I am just living out of my humanity, out of my humanness, depending upon my Father and the power of the Holy Spirit. And now Jesus turns to us. And just as he was helplessly dependent on his Father, so he says to you and to me, we are helplessly dependent upon him. If you're ever going to do anything of any worth in his kingdom, i.e. if you're ever going to speak the words of Jesus to your neighbors, your friends, your work colleagues, if you're ever going to do his works, if you're ever going to pray with people, see him at work in their lives, share words with them, encourage them, heal them, bless them. So Jesus says this, one, two, three, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Can you bear fruit in yourself? How much can you do by yourself? Nothing. Not a thing. You are powerless, weak, empty, helpless. Second one. One, two, three. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do How much can you can do apart from Jesus? Not a single thing. Not a single thing. But here's the good news. Apart from Jesus, you can do nothing. But with Jesus, in Jesus, there is nothing that you cannot do. Did you hear that? In Jesus, with Jesus, there is nothing that you cannot do. In other words, we can do this together. That's an invitation. You see, I try to follow Jesus the best I can. I honestly try that. But it's so easy for me to be crippled by feelings of weakness, emptiness, powerlessness, sinfulness. Crippled by shame and crippled by guilt, even as a Christian, because I'm not all that I want to be and certainly not all that Jesus wants me to be. And as I try to follow Jesus, I am so easily overcome by my struggles, my failures. And rather than feeling God's great strength and power in my life, and then I despair, I get down. Like, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong as a Christian? But now I've discovered this, something incredible, some incredible hope. It's this. Listen to this. Weakness is not, never has been a hindrance in the kingdom of God. Indeed, weakness is how you first come to Christ and throw yourself upon Him for salvation. At conversion, I basically said, Jesus, help me. Save me. Rescue me. I give my life to you in my weakness. But not only do you enter the kingdom, not only do you become a Christian in your weakness, listen to this, we live every day of our lives as followers of Jesus in God's kingdom. In what? Weakness. Powerlessness. Of course I am weak and I am sinful. God isn't surprised by that. I mean, you might be surprised. But God isn't surprised. But here's the thing. I have found out that I won't let weakness cripple me like it used to. I won't let it drive me to despair like it used to. I won't let it drive a wedge of guilt and shame between me and God like it used to. Instead, I'm learning something. I'm learning to let my weaknesses and my failures drive me into the loving arms of Jesus, just like Peter does in this story today. So you can allow your weakness, your failure, your guilt, your shame, you can allow it to drive you away from God. Or you can allow it to drive you into the loving arms of Jesus, of God. Does that make sense to you? Wind blows, it just depends what way you put up your sail. Listen to this, I'm going to repeat it twice because I want you to hear this. Forget about the rest of the talk, just listen to this line. There's something about weakness that attracts the presence and the blessing of God in your life. I'll say it again. There's something about weakness that attracts the presence and the blessing of God in your life. Now read this with me. 1, 2, 3. God opposes the proud, the strong, the assured, those confident in their own strength, and gives grace. So, weakness attracts His presence. Strength seems to repel His presence. Isn't that what that verse is saying? So instead of letting my weaknesses cripple me with guilt, shame, feelings of not enough, and drive me away from God, thinking all the time that I'm a failure, I am learning these days to let my weakness drive me into the loving arms of Jesus so that I find my everything, my all, my strength, my power in Him. Not trusting in myself, not trusting my abilities, not trusting that I'm a good Christian, not trusting in what I call star chart performance Christianity. But I'm learning to trust in Him. That's why I love this story. It's why it's special to me. Like, try and imagine chapter 14. Like, trying to imagine verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Try and imagine how dark it is. Turn out all the lights. Try and imagine that you hear something. Try and imagine that you're hearing the howl of the winds. And try and imagine that you're sitting in the seat there and you're lurching back and forward, back and forward. Try and imagine the uncertainties, the doubts, the fears, the tiredness, the questions that are churning around in the disciples' heads, and the sickness that's churning around in their stomachs. And it's 4 a.m. in the morning. It's 10 hours since they left land. It's like being in a bad crossing on the Stena line, isn't it? You know? And try and imagine that you're piercing through the darkness. And through the darkness you see the outline of a figure, like it's walking towards you in the darkness. And try and imagine what's going through the disciples' heads, and they're saying, is this really Jesus that we see? Is it really possible for him to walk on water? Is this really happening? Are we dreaming? Are we mad? And Peter, through the darkness, says to him, Lord, if it is you, I'm not sure it is you, but if it is you, would you tell me to come, command me to come, order me to come to you on top of those waves? And then Jesus speaks to Peter, and with one word says what? Step out of the safe and the comfortable Christian life. Step into the risk, the unknown, the uncertain of following me. Step over the side of the boat and take the biggest step of faith that you've ever taken in your life. In all of your weakness, with all of your doubts and all of your fears, in all of your anxieties and all of your feelings that this is not good, this is not going to go well, I know what happens here. It's madness. Like Peter's an experienced fisherman. He has faced these waters. He's been out and manages a storm. He knows what happens to men who go out over the side of the boat in the storm in the middle of the night, because it's 43 meters, 141 feet down to the bottom of the Lake of Galilee. And he probably has lost friends over the side of the boat and never seen them again. But by faith, he grasps hold of the command of Jesus and the promises of God that go with a command. And when he hears that word, come, follow me, come, he comes. He does it. Peter does it. He steps out over the side of the boat and he walks on the water to Jesus in all of his weakness, emptiness, powerlessness, anxiety and sinfulness. And then, of course, what happens? He sinks. Verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink in the waters, he cried out, Lord, save me. Would you have done any better? I don't think you would. I certainly wouldn't have. Well, who wouldn't have sunk? But listen to this. The failure, the weakness, the guilt, the shame that he feels in those moments of sinking doesn't drive him away from Jesus. What does it do? It drives him into the loving arms of Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I'm powerless. I'm weak. I'm anxious, I'm sinful, I'm crippled. And what does Jesus do? He puts his arm in Peter's arm, and together they walk arm and arm across the water back to the boat in intimacy. Amazing. The rest of his life, Peter will remember this story, this night, this experience of intimacy with Jesus. Listen to me, folks. I do not take enough risks as a follower of Jesus. It's easy for me up here on a Sunday morning to speak to you and, you know, say all kinds of things. But it's when I get out there, I do not take enough risks as a follower of Jesus. We do not take enough risks as followers of Jesus. Honestly, we don't. As churches, we do not take nearly enough risks to step out of the boat, to step out of the comfortable zones and carry the gospel into this community in life-giving ways. Listen to me, West Winds needs a church that'll take risks, get out there where people are, love them where they're at, and share Jesus with them as they are. Did you hear that? West Winds, as Donegadine needed it, as Bangor needs it, needs a church that will take risks, get out there where people are, love them as they are, share Jesus with them as they are, where they're at. Folks, you know, I think most of you know that these are days of enormous challenges for churches and for Presbyterian Church. Like, you know, we can see the fallen numbers, we can see the fallen figures. But please, please, please don't lose sight of this, that these are days of incredible opportunity in a culture that is creaking and breaking and desperately crying out for hope and help and for a saviour. And like, we have good news, fabulous news, fantastic news, wonderful news in a collapsing culture. And feeling all the internal feelings that we feel of weakness, failure, emptiness, we still need to take enormous risks, take our courage in our hands, step out of the boat, step out of the safe and the comfortable, respond to Jesus' invitation to us today. Come, come, Scrabble. Come, come, individual Christians. Put your own name in there instead of Peter. Come. Come across the wind and the waves, across the raging storms and the seas, across the skepticism and cynicism of our culture, across the unbelief and the doubts of your neighbours, across the ridicule of the media who mock and laugh at us as Christian believers in our weakness. But what if our weakness was our greatest strength? What if we are strongest when we are weakest? What if, as God says, this is true? 1, 2, 3, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in... Brilliant, isn't it? Sufficient for you, Scrabble. Sufficient for you to impact this area with the gospel. Sufficient for you at work or at home or with your friends or just with the people that you bump into this week, rub shoulders with. God saying to you this morning, my grace is sufficient. My power works most perfectly when you are at your weakest. I am at my most powerful, my strongest. And if that's true, and it definitely is, then I need to choose to get my eyes off myself, away from my internal struggles and battles and failures and weaknesses and anxiety and guilt, with what's happening in here. Because that only makes me despair. I need to choose to get my focus, my eyes, my faith, looking up and looking out to God and to remind myself of these things. I remind myself who God is. Remind myself how good God is. Remind myself how great God is. Remind myself of God's faithful promises, God's unfailing love. Because, folks, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. But listen to this as you go out of here to live, because this is when you find out whether you believe this stuff or not, when you go out through those doors to live your life this week. It's not about us. As we look up and as we look out instead of in and down, I am finding myself growing stronger. As I focus on who God is and his sufficient strength, I'm beginning to discover the joy of the Lord is my strength, my hope. And so I'm determined this week, as I go and live my life, whatever challenges that I face, I'm going to try and not look at the wind and the waves. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed firmly on the Savior, on Jesus. Because that's the battle that takes place in my life every day as a believer. To believe the truths of Scripture, to believe that they're true. They're not just true for Peter. They're not just true for Jesus. They're not just true in the Bible. That they're true for me as I'm trying to live out my life as a follower of Jesus this week. And they're true for you. They work. They will work for you as you try to live it out this week in whatever kind of circumstances you're trying to live it out this week. Does that make sense to you? That's a challenge. Praise God, these things are true, whether I feel them to be true or not. They are true. We'll take a few wee moments just to be quiet and try to listen to the Spirit of God. It's really hard to listen to Jesus and see Jesus when you're distracted. It's dark, so you can't see him. And there's the howl of the winds and there's the thumping, bashing of the waves. The distracting noises that really help you, that make it hard for you to hear Jesus and see Jesus and feel Jesus. That must have been true in Matthew 14. This is true for us today. You know, if I can pray with you, if anybody wants prayer at the end, you know, my heart is just to pray with you, encourage you, bless you, just I'll be here at the front, or Gareth can pray with you as well. Because great is the darkness that covers the earth, oppression, injustice, pain. Yet through that darkness, Jesus is calling his church to rise up, to step out, to step over, to walk on water, to be followers. Come follow Jesus this week. Holy Spirit, just breathe your life and breathe your word into our hearts today so that we can hear you. And more importantly, that when we step out these doors in a few moments' time into the real world, that we can step out and say, I will follow you this week, Jesus. Whatever the wind, whatever the waves, that I'm coping with. And we as a church will really seek earnestly to follow you if you give us a minister to lead us. Try and respond, we'll try and worship. Great is the darkness that covers the earth. Be able to stand, please stand.
Covers the earth, oppression, injustice, and pain. Nations are slipping in hopeless despair, though many have come in your name, watching while sanity dies, touched by the madness and lies. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit. Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit in us today. May now your church rise with power and love, this glorious gospel proclaim. In every nation salvation will come to those who believe in your name. Help us bring light to the world, that we might speed your return. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit, we pray. Come, Lord Jesus, come, Lord Jesus, pour out your Spirit in us today. Great celebrations on that final day, when out of the heavens you come. Darkness will vanish, all sorrow will end, and rulers will bow at your throne. Our great commission complete, then face to face we shall meet. Come.
Jesus, just come amongst us. Just come, send your Spirit amongst us in grace and power. Just pray blessing over you. May the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, come down on you, rest on you, remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen. Amen. There's tea, coffee, chat to each other before you leave. That's important. He died.